الفاميلي جات سندرو del $5 McChicken Meal Deal, del $5 McDouble Meal Deal y del nuevo $6 Daily Double Meal Deal. Todos con papitas y bebida pequeña más McNuggets de 4 piezas. ¡Wow! ¡Qué banquete! Por tiempo limitado, precios y participación pueden variar. No es válido para McDelivery.
I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Football Full Circle on a Tuesday in early April, live here on SiriusXM Channel 159. I am Ben Stevens. He is Joe Lisi. Our maiden program together here on FFC Football Full Circle. Joe Lisi, I'm excited to be alongside with you on this journey, even here in April, starting to look forward to the NFL draft under 3 weeks away now as well.
Oh, what did I do to deserve this? I'm moving on up, Ben, huh? 16 days away from the NFL draft. This is what it's all about. We really start to see which teams jockey for position, and more importantly, which players maybe can catapult themselves into the top 10.
Absolutely so, Joe. As you well know, this portion leading into the NFL draft, 2.5 weeks left, 16 days until we get underway in Las Vegas, smokescreen season. We got to figure out what's true, what's false out there, where the movement is happening, not only in your draft boards or your favorite mock draft, but on the odds board as well. And Joe Lisi, that is what we will do right now with the quarterback conversation in this NFL draft. Of course, it has been said many a time, the NFL draft this year from a quarterback perspective, not all that great. It is not the strongest QB draft class we have seen in the last couple of NFL seasons or into this NFL draft, but there's a couple of names right now at the top of the board that are jockeying to be that first quarterback selected. In Malik Willis, Joe, the odds-on favorite right now at minus 160. Do you agree with that price on the quarterback out of Liberty?
Well, I think you have to look at it in twofold, right? People are looking at Malik Willis strictly for upside. If we're looking at Malik Willis based off of last year, I don't think he's the first quarterback taken in terms of this draft. You know, now I know a team will reach up and grab him. He has the intangibles, but you also have to look at a lot of other athletic quarterbacks that maybe fell a little bit or didn't perform in year one, a la Trey Lance, right? San Francisco reaches up, takes him third overall. He still might not be the starter in San Francisco battling Jimmy Garoppolo this year. So I have concerns about Malik Willis. The concerns are he's raw. I think he struggles with reads and coverages. You look at some battle-tested games last year, did not step up. He goes from a one-loss season a couple of years ago to 8-5 last year. That's a concern for me, Ben. And more importantly, the level of competition that he played last year, not elite outside of maybe Syracuse and Ole Miss. And in both of those ball games, Liberty lost.
He did leave a little bit to be desired as well in both of those matchups against my Syracuse Orange, and especially in that showdown we were all anticipating in that non-conference slate against Ole Miss and Matt Corral. By the way, Matt Corral, the third best odds to be the first quarterback selected, but at 20-1. So, Joe, there's where we see the distinction between Malik Willis compared to Kenny Pickett in the rest of this quarterback draft class. That's what we'll get into on today's show, a little bit of how the quarterback conversation is affecting the NFL draft market and looking at some of those other odds, especially early on, because Aiden Hutchinson and Trayvon Walker, those edge rushers, really starting to dominate the odds board for the first couple of picks in this 2022 NFL draft. But again, Joe, as we compare Malik Willis to Kenny Pickett, Willis right now minus 160 to be the first quarterback selected. But it's not a huge gap, a rather short margin, despite Malik Willis being in that odds on minus money category between him and the Heisman finalist and Kenny Pickett at plus 130. Joe, in my mind, you alluded to it well there. Malik Willis is that classic upside that is so, so high for teams in this NFL draft. An incredibly high ceiling, but maybe a lower floor than what seems to be Kenny Pickett, who is a little bit more pro-ready. A Heisman finalist last year, led Pittsburgh to an ACC championship. And of course, Kenny Pickett also pretty mobile, can get out of the pocket, even doing things that led to huge outrages and debates on social media with the fake slide that Kenny Pickett certainly highlighted in his Heisman tape. So that gap there, Joe, the distinction between Malik Willis at minus 160, although in minus money, is not all that large in my mind on the odds board from where Kenny Pickett stands at plus 130.
No, it's not. And, you know, Kenny Pickett is a more polished quarterback right here, right now. Obviously yeah. Progressed when he got the victory over Miami as a freshman, stepped up and knocked off Mark Richt when Miami was going to a potential college football playoff appearance. Back-to-back 13 touchdown, 9 interception years. But then in his senior season under Mark Whipple, the offensive coordinator, he took off right now. Again, against subpar competition, did have one big game against top-ranked Clemson's defense, lit them up, won that ball game by double digits. So I think that's the outlier for me. Kenny Pickett stepped up in his biggest game of the year. He did have a game in Western Michigan where he failed to step up, but his body of work, he progressed year after year and ended 2021 with a dominant victory over Wake Forest in the ACC championship game. So I think if we're talking both of those quarterbacks right here, right now, the most NFL ready at a both of those guys is Kenny Pickett to come in and start. But I still like another quarterback, Ben. I still am a believer in Matt Corral from Ole Miss.
And he is 20-1 right now. Where might Matt Corral go? Will he go in that first round? There are a couple of teams that might be looking to the future when it comes to their quarterbacks, and we continue to correlate those markets between Malik Willis and Kenny Pickett as we roll through today's show, because not only is there that distinction there in who is selected first, but where might that first quarterback go? Could it be early on? Is it within the top 10 or maybe the top 2? The Detroit Lions doing their due diligence for that number 2 overall pick. We continue the quarterback conversation for the NFL draft on Football Full Circle next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Football Full Circle returns on this Tuesday right here on Sports Grid Radio and Sirius XM Channel 159. Ben Stevens alongside Joe Lisi. For this hour, we bring you up until 1 p.m. Eastern Time, and then that wonderful duo of Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside on the money line, 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time. I'm sure Kevin is going to be giving out some tangy plays on this Tuesday for the NBA play-in tournament. But Joe and my focus right now is on the NFL draft. Under 3 weeks away now from when we get out to the desert for the NFL draft and all that happens in Las Vegas. And Joe, the quarterback conversation continues for us right here. We correlated the markets between who would be the first quarterback selected. Malik Willis in minus money to be that first quarterback taken in this upcoming NFL draft at minus 160. But the gap between him and Kenny Pickett, not all that large. Willis minus 160, Pickett plus 130. It gets even more fascinating, Joe, when you look at where these two gentlemen might go. And I think we have to start at number 2 overall. The Detroit Lions starting to do their due diligence into that upside of Malik Willis. He has the 4th best odds right now on the board at plus 500 to go number 2 overall to Detroit. Of course, their quarterback right now, Jared Goff. A long contract, a lot of money owed to Goff, but I don't think there's a sentiment that Jared Goff is their franchise quarterback. quarterback for many future years. Thus, I think at number two, Joe, Detroit is starting to look at their options. In other years with a stronger quarterback draft class, I don't think there's any doubt in my mind Detroit takes a QB at two. This year, with a little bit weaker of a class, that debate is up in the air, but I think Malik Willis is starting to trend to maybe being a flashy pick to really get the draft underway with that number two overall selection.
Yeah, that's a great point, and that's something that, you know, we're going to have to take a deeper look at. You're absolutely right, Ben. I think the biggest thing for Detroit right now is, do they want to take Malik Willis at number two overall, or do they want to wait until 32 to potentially take a quarterback like Des Ridder or even Matt Corral? So they do have the option. They also have the 34th pick overall in terms of the second round. They could also maybe to potentially take a Carson Strong or another quarterback like Sam Howell that they might value in terms of that type of assessment. But I think the whole scenario and the whole perception around Malik Willis's upside, the biggest concern, and let me ask you this, because, you know, you're a Big Ten guy. You know, the knock on Justin Fields last year was that he wasn't NFL ready. He wasn't, you know, he couldn't come in and break down coverage. You know, they had a lot of, I want to say concern about his throwing motion. Remember the baseball type of throwing motion, right? We don't hear any of those concerns about Malik Willis, and that's where I think it's a knock against Justin Fields. Justin Fields did more in his college career than Malik Willis has done up until this point. Again, it's not a knock on Malik Willis. It's just the facts. I mean, Justin Fields completed 70% of his passes. He led Ohio State to a college football playoff appearance against top-ranked Clemson, a national championship against top-ranked Alabama. All he did was step up in big games, and yet he fell to 13th overall, and all of a sudden Malik Willis, that really is, when you look at his body of work, it's basically mediocre at best. We're pumping him up into the top five.
100%, Joe. I think it's a great point, right? And that speaks to how weak, at least perception-wise, this quarterback class is in 2022 as compared to even last year. Because Justin Fields and all those incredibly false and weird narratives about his character and about how the fact he played baseball in high school and why that was going to affect his throwing motion and maybe wasn't as committed to his craft while he was in the Ohio State quarterback room actually drawing up plays with the wonderful offensive mind of Ryan Day, debunking all of those weird things that we see during draft season, but still caused Justin Fields to slide out of the top 10 to be the fourth quarterback taken last year. If Justin Fields is in this draft, there's not a doubt in my mind Justin Fields is going number two overall to the Detroit Lions, given the fact the Jags have their quarterback of the future, selecting number one overall last year as well, of course, in getting Trevor Lawrence out of Clemson. So I think it's a great point, and the fact we're even discussing Malik Willis number two, when last year he's probably the sixth or seventh quarterback on the board, is a very interesting distinction from last year to this. And that goes to speak to the idea, though, that Detroit is starting to, at least, I think, welcome that idea of the upside. We haven't heard those knocks against Malik Willis. It's all the positives on Malik Willis, despite the fact that Justin Fields had the best quarterbacking season in the history of the Big Ten Conference in 2019, the only quarterback ever to throw for more than 40 touchdowns and run for an additional 10, despite the fact that Justin Fields threw for a Sugar Bowl record, 6 touchdowns in that college football playoff semifinal against Clemson. He was still drop down the draft board. Well, Malik Willis here is starting to rise up it, where I don't think 3 weeks ago, Joe, Malik Willis was in serious consideration for Detroit at number two. But that's what quarterbacks bring in the NFL draft, that allure, that luster, the idea that, ooh, if that upside pays off, if that really does start to cash in, we can find our quarterback. And Malik Willis at plus 500 to go number two to Detroit, again, the fourth best price, but as we compare that to the other highly ranked quarterback in this draft, casting Kenny Pickett, Joe, is 50-1. Malik Willis, 5-1. Kenny Pickett, 50-1. It should go to say how NFL organizations are starting to view that upside of Malik Willis as opposed to maybe a little bit more of a sure thing in Kenny Pickett.
Yeah, great point. And if you look at both the Kenny Pickett and Malik Willis just on FanDuel, they even have the Giants interested at 14-1 to potentially select Malik Willis, which is amazing. And Kenny Pickett's not even there for the New York Giants. You're absolutely right. I put it this way. If Detroit, let's say, does pull the trigger at number two with Malik Willis, this quarterback bet of over 2.5 is going to blow through, because then you're going to have teams really – the domino effect, right? Carolina, Seattle, teams that are in desperate need of a franchise quarterback are all of a sudden going to start to scramble. Is it going to be Kenny Pickett? Is it going to be Matt Corral? Potentially Des Ridder in the first round. You're going to start to see a domino effect. Should Detroit be proactive and say, you know what? We need a quarterback for the future. He could stay behind Jared Goff a year and learn, and then all of a sudden we get his extra, you know, fifth year in terms of the contract. That's a potential. But if he goes number two overall, make no mistake about it, there's potentially then four or five quarterbacks that can be selected in the first round then.
And I don't think that's an exaggeration in the slightest, Joe, because if Malik Willis does cash that plus 500 ticket as the number two overall pick to the Lions, then I think Carolina certainly selects Kenny Pickett at six. And then what might Atlanta do at eight? What does the Seahawks do at number nine, also now looking for their quarterbacks of the future and maybe can take a bigger swing on a Matt Corral or a Sam Howell and let them develop behind the veterans and Marcus Mariota for Atlanta, and maybe not so much a veteran, but Drew Lock to see if he certainly has anything for the Seattle Seahawks. And again, what Joe is saying there is not all that crazy, especially when you put into consideration the odds for both Malik Willis and Kenny Pickett to be within the top 10, to be a top 10 pick in this upcoming 2022 NFL draft. And Joe, here's where I think the odds can teach us something. Outside of what we might see in smokescreen season, outside of the mock drafts that you might read, you're probably up to 10 to 15 on a daily basis right now. The odds might be a true indication of where things are starting to go. If you remember last year when Trey Lance started to get some steam at that number three overall pick, or even Mac Jones and his draft position, it was a weird thought of here's what might happen for those first three picks in this NFL draft. Malik Willis right now, Joe, is minus 300 to be a top 10 pick. That tells me that if it's not Detroit, it's Carolina. If it's not Carolina, it's certainly Atlanta at eight or Seattle at nine. Kenny Pickett, however, plus 165. Still a relatively short number, but that plus 165 is a ton of value if you do believe in the idea Detroit is looking into Malik Willis at number two overall, because that's where I think our next conversation goes, Joe. Where are these quarterbacks going to be selected? Where are they going to go? Is it Malik at two and Kenny at six? And then where does Matt Corral or Sam Howell go? Maybe in the top 10 as well, because the market for the Carolina Panthers, Joe Lisi, is the most fascinating I have seen for this 2022 NFL draft. We look at that and plenty more as we get ready for the NFL draft next on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Now we're ready to go. Don't be a sports gaming loser, as you heard there in that final commercial before Joe Lisi and myself, Ben Stevens, return here on Football Full Circle on Sports Grid Radio and Sirius XM Channel 159, because Joe and I are breaking down the NFL draft coming up in less than 3 weeks right now, and that QB discussion, the quarterback conversation, and comparing the markets between Malik Willis and Kenny Pickett and what the odds might tell us, because I think there's tons of profitability out there, Joe Lisi, on both of these two quarterbacks who are probably the first two off the board, and Malik Willis at minus 160 favored to be that first quarterback selected. So we've looked at those correlations. We've looked at number two overall for Detroit. Now it's time to look at number six, because Joe, if you, I'd direct your attention to the FanDuel Sportsbook right now. For Kenny Pickett to be drafted, the team to draft Kenny Pickett, the most likely option, the shortest number, and a rather short number, plus 125 at number six overall for the Carolina Panthers. Then it's the New Orleans Saints at plus 350, and then the Steelers behind that, who don't pick till number 20, at plus 400. Now look at the Carolina Panthers to draft Malik Willis. It's plus 350. The Steelers tied at that co-favorite price at plus 350 as well. Again, Pittsburgh doesn't draft until number 20 overall, and we're having the conversation if Malik Willis might go number 2 to the Detroit Lions. Detroit has the 5th best price for Malik Willis's board right now for the team to take him at plus 500. Joe, it fascinates me that Kenny Pickett has better odds at plus 125 to go number 6 overall to Carolina than Malik Willis does at plus 350 to be drafted 6th overall to Carolina. How does that make sense?
Well, I think it goes to where is the team under Matt Rhule? And we brought this up all offseason, Ben, in the sense of Carolina is in a must-win situation to save Matt Rhule's job, right? That's the biggest thing. If Matt Rhule starts out and let's say this team goes 6-11, he's not going to be there in terms of Carolina next year. That's just a given fact, right? He started 3-0, had one of the best records in the NFL, and then limped to basically a 2-12 record the rest of the way, one of the worst in terms of the NFL regular season, right? Almost as bad as the Jets. I mean, you couldn't get any worse, right? So at the end of the day, he's in a win-now situation. Year one with Teddy Bridgewater, he weeded out the players that fit his scheme, didn't fit his scheme. Last year, he rolls the dice for Sam Darnold, doesn't work out with offensive coordinator Joe Brady. There is no margin of error for Matt Rhule. He needs to, if they're going to select a quarterback, he needs a quarterback that can be game ready and provide you wins and losses immediately. So for me, if I'm Matt Rhule, I'm rolling the dice with Matt Corral. But if we're talking two top guys, Willis and Pickett, it is Kenny Pickett, in my opinion, that provides Carolina the best option to get wins under your belt now and to save your job, because at the end of the day, if you go with Malik Willis, with both of these quarterbacks, there's going to be growing pains no matter what. Malik Willis is more raw than Kenny Pickett. That's why I think the market has Pickett favored as the front runner for Carolina.
Joe, I don't think Kenny Pickett cashes that plus 125 ticket, though, unless Malik Willis goes number 2 overall to Detroit, because if they're both available at number 6, I still think Carolina most likely selects Malik Willis there at number 6. And the reason I think the numbers are so lofty and plus money for pretty much every team to draft Malik Willis is because of that uncertainty and because of that unknown of what Detroit might do at number 2. Again, that's plus 500 for Malik Willis to go number 2 overall to the Detroit Lions, and it's plus 350 for him to go number 6 overall to Carolina, number 20 overall, at least as of right now, to the Pittsburgh Steelers at plus 350 as well. I don't think there's a chance Malik Willis falls to number 20. Could the Steelers trade up and be in a scenario? Maybe. But again, I think that plus 125 ticket on Kenny Pickett is a little bit more of certainty around the idea that if he is the only one available at number 6, Carolina is not going to pass up on a quarterback. Maybe it's a nature of saying Carolina's not passing up on a quarterback. Regardless of who it is, a QB will be selected, because, Joe, you brought up Matt Rhule, and we know Matt Rhule's thoughts on Sam Darnold and the potential of the quarterback position there for the Panthers at the moment. I would not say he is very high, and I would say that is quite generous of me to say not very high on how Matt Rhule feels about Sam Darnold. But could we not make an argument here, though, that at plus 500 for Malik Willis, if you believe in that plus 125 of Kenny Pickett to go number 6 overall to Carolina, then the plus 500 on Malik Willis has to hit at number 2 for the Detroit Lions, and thus we can find ourselves tons of plus money on what might be perceived as a weak quarterback class in this draft.
It's possible. I mean, Detroit is really the one that holds the wild card. They're second overall. Do they trade out? That would really throw a monkey wrench into the whole bet as well, right? We don't know. Is it a team like New Orleans that says, you know what, we'll give you the catch and sink for Malik Willis, number 2 overall, and he could sit behind Jameis for a year or two? You never know. I mean, that's always the potential as well, Ben, in terms of this assessment and breakdown. It is absolutely fascinating. You know what's incredible as well? And we talk about upside, the unknown, right? Why didn't Atlanta take the unknown alone with Justin Fields, number four overall. Look at where Matt Ryan is now. He's over in Indianapolis. They opted for Kyle Pitts. Then the off-the-field issues with Calvin Ridley. If they would have rolled the dice at number four overall last year after Trey Lance and taken Justin Fields as the quarterback of the future, maybe they wouldn't have had Mariota there, right? Maybe they would have been, you know, under second-year head coach Arthur Smith in a much better position than where they are now. Do they roll the dice because of what happened last year? Do they, if Malik Willis is there at number four for Atlanta, or where Atlanta picks at number eight, are they going to pull the trigger? That's another outlier that we have to think about.
Absolutely so, Joe, because I think there's four teams likely in the top 10 that could go with a quarterback, that being the Detroit Lions, maybe the least likely given their position in the draft, despite the need of maybe focusing on that quarterback for the long sustained future, because I don't think Jared Goff is that guy in Detroit. And as we speak about Matt Rhule, maybe not loving his future options with Sam Darnold. I don't think Dan Campbell is the highest fan of Jared Goff, although might be sustainable for the near future in the Motor City if they do not decide Malik Willis is worth the reach at number two and the upside does not back up that selection. And then I think you look at number six with Carolina, who I think will take a quarterback, regardless if it's Malik Willis or Kenny Pickett, depending on who is available. I think Atlanta at eight needs to think about a quarterback because Marcus Mariota is not that guy, although he does have some familiarity with Arthur Smith from their time in Tennessee together. And then number nine, the Seattle Seahawks, after trading away the quarterback of their franchise and getting that number nine pick from the Denver Broncos when they shipped Russell Wilson out to the Mile High City, I think they're looking at a quarterback as well. And Joe, you bring up a great point, right? Because that's how last year's draft is already affecting the handicapping for this year's draft, now just about 2 weeks away from that start in Las Vegas, because Atlanta passes on the ability to take their quarterback for the future at number four. They trade Matt Ryan to Indianapolis for not a king's ransom in return, and now Atlanta's team win total for a 2022 NFL season, which features 17 games now in the regular season, is 4.5, and the under has the juice. That goes to show maybe the snafu that Atlanta had last year not investing in their quarterback for a future and might determine what they do this year around. But again, I think that plus money is to be had in the first round on Malik Willis, either plus 500 to go number two overall to Detroit, or then we start to cipher through what happens after that, Joe, because Malik Willis is minus 300 to be a top 10 pick in this upcoming NFL draft. So one of those four teams, in my estimation, Detroit, Atlanta, Seattle, or Carolina at six, is going to nab Malik Willis in this first round.
Oh, without a doubt. I think you're right. The unknown of what you're going to get, the potential to develop a franchise quarterback who's mobile, right? Mobile quarterbacks carry weight in today's game. Your offensive line sucks. It's not good. Hey, we need a quarterback that can get outside the pocket and keep his eyes down the field. We need a quarterback that can create, a la Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts, right? Josh Allen. The better quarterbacks in today's NFL are mobile and can avoid a pass rush and have strong arms. Malik Willis, I'll give him that. He has one of the strongest arms that we've seen over the last couple of years.
Yeah, absolutely so. I mean, we all saw his pro day at Liberty and the play action rollout where he turned back to his left and spun around and threw it 65 yards on an absolute strike. And that's part of what we love about draft season is how we can get hype from a small workout video on Twitter. But again, it's all about trying to find out what the odds are telling us here. And at plus 500, with the fourth shortest number on Malik Willis to go number two overall to Detroit, what might that number mean for the rest? Because if Malik Willis is minus 300 to go top 10 and is minus 160 to be the number one quarterback selected in this draft ahead of Kenny Pickett, and you see Kenny Pickett at plus 125 with better odds to go number six overall to Carolina than the plus 350 number on Malik Willis to do the same number six to the Panthers, that would lead me to believe Detroit is starting to certainly make it a realistic possibility on Malik Willis at number two overall. And Lisi, I'm not sure we could have said that just a couple of weeks ago. I think we finish out this draft conversation on the other side of the break, looking at the edge rushers at one and two and how that might change the mind of the Detroit Lions with what they will do and what that means for the quarterback conversation we've spent the good majority of this show on, because the odds again are telling us something, Joe Lisi. We continue that conversation. Ben Stevens, Joe Lisi on the other side of the break, right here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are back right now on Football Full Circle on Sports Grid Radio and Sirius XM Channel 159. I am Ben Stevens. He is the incomparable Joe Lisi, and we continue to break down the 2022 NFL Draft. Less than 3 weeks away until all of our attention heads to the desert for the draft, just a couple of weeks from now, Lisi. And as we continue our conversation today, based on what the quarterbacks might do in this NFL draft and what quarterbacks could go early and often, we also need to look at how the top of the board works, because number two is where I think this draft gets very, very interesting. Because at number one overall, we know, at least we think we know, what the Jacksonville Jaguars are going to look to do. Selecting number one overall for a second straight year, of course, getting Trevor Lawrence last year to be their quarterback of the future. And right now on FanDuel, a heavy minus money price on Aiden Hutchinson, the edge rusher out of Michigan, to go number one overall at minus 250. But who has made his way up this board, Joe Lisi, from one of the best scoring defenses these two eyes have ever seen last year in college football in Georgia? It is Trayvon Walker, the edge rusher, at plus 350. So Aiden Hutchinson, still a heavy favorite at minus 250. But Joe, that price on Trayvon Walker was not plus 350 just a few weeks ago. I don't even know if that price was on the board. He has shot up draft boards around the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, he's a dominating force for Kirby Smart and the defending national champion Georgia Bulldogs. Just a dynamic player, 6'3", around 270 when you think about his size and intangibles, and especially in run support. That's the biggest thing. You know, can college players make their mark, not just rushing the passer, but in run support? He's a physical presence at the point of attack, takes on two and three double teams at a clip and still gets to the quarterback. That's what you want to see. And the biggest concern, I'll say this, it's always the player that you rarely hear about under the radar, right, that all of a sudden creeps up with about a week to go before the draft. It's Trayvon Walker. But let's be honest, Ben, if you watched SEC football, you watch the college football playoff, and you watch the national championship game, Trayvon Walker was one of the most dominant forces with his teammate Nakobe Dean and Jordan Davis.
It's crazy when you think about that Georgia team, and when you look at the All-22 of UGA's defense last year, and you'll see so many top prospects for this NFL draft, it's hard to almost point out the one and most key contributor, because you had Trayvon Walker on the edge. You had Jordan Davis, the big man, filling up the middle. Nakobe Dean flying around and making plays. Lewis Cine on the back end of what Kirby Smart was doing for that Bulldogs defense as well. So many stud playmakers and probably many first-round selections here, Joe, in this 2022 NFL draft. But it's interesting to see the rise on Trayvon Walker, because there's no need for the Jacksonville Jaguars to start to put anything in the line season or to throw any smoke screens out there. They are the number one overall selection. They can take whoever the heck they want. And if they are truly interested in Trayvon Walker, that's where I think the odds start to shoot up and become a lot shorter. And again, let the odds tell you something. Maybe it's not that Trayvon Walker is going to cash that plus 350 ticket to go number one overall to the Jags, but maybe it's how highly regarded he is by the rest of the teams early on in this first round. Because if Aiden Hutchinson is minus 250 to go number one overall and Trayvon Walker is plus 350, Joe Lisi, how many times in your life doing this have you seen the same two guys that are favored to go number one overall be the same two guys with the shortest odds to go number two overall to the Detroit Lions? Because Aiden Hutchinson is the favorite to go one and two, minus money to the Jags, but plus 200 to the Detroit Lions. So I think there is some considerable stock in the idea that Trayvon Walker is neck and neck with Aiden Hutchinson, which again was not the case just a few short weeks ago.
Yeah, I think he is. And I think there's a couple of reasons why you're seeing one and two, right? Let's put the correlation. Let's assume that Aiden Hutchinson does go number two, or let's say is not the top overall pick by the Jacksonville Jaguars. Let's say it is Trayvon Walker. Well, what about the affiliation to Detroit, hometown kid, Michigan, Ann Arbor, Big Ten country, yeah. Same type of thing in terms of the affiliation, blue-collar coach with Dan Campbell. They need help on the defensive side of the ball. There is the correlation for Aiden Hutchinson with Detroit. So a lot of experts or gurus say there's no way he's going to get outside of Detroit, because why not take the hometown kid for the most part? He could benefit your defense, and there you go. That's the safe pick. I think when you look at it, though, in terms of why maybe Walker's being mentioned, because maybe Jacksonville really regards Walker as the better overall prospect, or not only that, maybe there are other teams that really love Walker that Jacksonville is aware of, and they know maybe we can get value trading out of the overall top pick in terms of the top draft. And then, you know what? We'll get maybe multiple picks as this draft progresses, and we could still get our player. Maybe it's Thibodeau, maybe it's Hutchinson, or maybe it's even a quarterback or something else that they can deal. You don't even know at this point.
And it's so interesting because the Jags selecting number one overall for the second straight year, you would think maybe at this point, if they're not in love with the biggest playmaker in the draft, or they don't really see the value in number one as they did last year, of course, locking up Trevor Lawrence, who was going to be the number one overall pick from the time he was a sophomore at Clemson, maybe there is something they are considering there, because they brought back Cam Robinson. They franchise tagged the offensive tackle, which really affected this market, Joe, because we saw tons of movement on the number one overall pick. As the regular season in the NFL was coming to an end in mid-January, Aiden Hutchinson was a slight odds-on favorite at minus 110 compared to Kayvon Thibodeau, only 20 cents of difference for the edge rusher out of Oregon at plus 110. But then as we got near the combine, Joe, before the NFL free agency season got underway and the new league year started where you could start to place those franchise tags on players, it was Evan Neal, the offensive tackle out of Alabama, that was the odds-on favorite to go number one overall to protect their biggest asset in Trevor Lawrence from a year ago. But you tag Cam Robinson, that really gets rid of the need for any offensive lineman on that number one overall spot, and it brings back Aiden Hutchinson to be the odds-on favorite in minus money at minus 250 to go number one overall to Jacksonville. But again, I think that correlation at number two is a great point by you, Joe, and you brought it up. The draft gurus that say, based on all the ties that Aiden Hutchinson has to the Detroit Lions, of course, the edge rusher and the Heisman finalist out of Michigan that put on two of the biggest displays of his entire career in the maize and blue in the game against Ohio State, the first win over the Buckeyes in the Jim Harbaugh tenure, and then in the Big Ten championship game, the first Big Ten title in the Jim Harbaugh tenure against Iowa, that maybe, maybe, just maybe, if he falls past number one, there is no chance Aiden Hutchinson gets out of Detroit. And that's how I feel, Joe. If Aiden Hutchinson is available with the number two overall selection, for whatever reason he does not go number one overall, he will be a Detroit Lion. You can cash that plus 200 ticket, and that's why he's the favorite price to do so as of right now, despite the fact he is minus money to go number one overall. And then what that means if Aiden Hutchinson is still available at number two, that also confuses things from a quarterback perspective, because it is a shoe-in he would go number two overall. And even if Detroit starts to talk themselves into Malik Willis and maybe reaching at number two for the quarterback out of Liberty, if it's Aiden Hutchinson or Malik Willis, there's no doubt in my mind Detroit takes Hutchinson out of Michigan.
Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest thing you would think, right? Dan Campbell, defensive-minded coach. And, you know, this defense, let's be honest, last year, very good against against the pass. Top 10 defense for much of the year. They were atrocious in run support. Bottom, they were on the bottom half, if not dead last against the run last year in terms of yards per rush and yards per game. So that's what they need to solidify. They came on as a unit. Aiden Hutchinson is the safe pick. That's the biggest thing, Ben, is that you know what you're getting out of Aiden Hutchinson. School record last year, 13 sacks. You mentioned the two big games that he stepped up. Now, there are concerns, right, for Michigan defensive players translating to the next level. Chase Winovich, Quiddy Pay, right, didn't really step up last year. Taco Charlton's another one. Jabril Peppers, Rashawn Gary, good players. Are they elite players? So I think that's the concern or the knock that you could put on Aiden Hutchinson. Maybe it's unfair, but you have to say, okay, have Michigan defensive players turned out to be elite pros at this point over the last 4 or 5 years? And I think the answer is no. And then maybe you can make an assessment that Dan Campbell, if given the choice, maybe rolls the dice with Thibodeau, because let's not forget, Detroit took Sewell out of Oregon last year. Maybe there's an affiliation with Thibodeau as well, loving the Oregon program. I'm just saying, that's another way to look at it as well.
And the edge rushers are going to be one of the hotly debated items of this NFL draft. As we've talked about correlating the quarterbacks against each other, Malik Willis against Kenny Pickett, you also need to do the same for Aiden Hutchinson, Trayvon Walker, and Kayvon Thibodeau based on the odds. And again, Joe, we can look at draft position. Player draft position markets on the FanDuel Sportsbook now available. Aiden Hutchinson, his over-under is 1.5. Unsurprisingly, he's a minus money odds-on favorite at minus 250 to go number one overall to Jackson. Of course, the under of his 1.5 is the same juice at minus 250. But Trayvon Walker's draft position is 3.5, and the under is even more heavily juiced at minus 270. That would tell me he does not fall past number 3 where the Houston Texans are selecting, but I would think Houston is going with an offensive tackle to bolster up their O-line for their young quarterback of Davis Mills at this moment. And that's where he is, Trayvon Walker, at 3.5, and again, under juiced at minus 270. In the fall on Kayvon Thibodeau, so far throughout this draft process, Joe, has been pretty pronounced, because his draft position now for a guy that had the second shortest odds and only 20 cents of difference among Aiden Hutchinson heading into this NFL offseason, now for Thibodeau, his draft position is 5.5, and the over has the juice, Joe, at minus 136. So Kayvon Thibodeau has been on the slide here as we get ready for the draft in just over 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, it is interesting, right? I think the two biggest things for Thibodeau entering this draft are didn't step up in the biggest game on the stage last year in Salt Lake City, college football playoff appearance on the line for the Oregon Ducks. They get absolutely blown out by Utah and Kyle Whittingham, right? And then obviously didn't play. He was hurt against Ohio State, biggest game of the year. They win as a 14.5-point dog. That defense did it without Thibodeau, and the thought about him being more concerned about his brand. However, though, Ben, right, if this was a year ago and we were talking pre-draft, Thibodeau was the guy. Ahead of, you know, Trayvon Walker. He was ahead of Aiden Hutchinson because of the pure upside, the intangibles. That's what he possesses. And let's not forget, Lovie Smith at number 3, even though they need to protect Davis Mills, he is a defensive-minded coach. They lost J.J. Watt from last year. They moved him to Arizona. What better way to build up that defense? There's a potential fit. I'm not saying it's the best fit, but it's a potential now that Watt is over in Arizona.
I think it's a great point, Joe, because at this point last year, everybody likes to do their mock draft for the draft that is right ahead of us, but as soon as that flips, it's like, okay, who's going to be the number one overall pick next year? And obviously, we have to play an entire college football season where injury can be a concern, or a lack of performance can certainly hurt a draft stock, but it was Kayvon Thibodeau running away with being the number one overall pick. Aiden Hutchinson wasn't even floated in that kind of idea, nor was Trayvon Walker. It really wasn't until the last couple of weeks that Trayvon Walker has been considered considered past Kayvon Thibodeau in the NFL draft circles. But that's where Kayvon Thibodeau finds himself now, with an over-under of 5.5 for his draft position. And Joe, you bring up Houston. If it's not Houston, could it be the New York Jets with a defensive-minded head coach in Robert Saleh? Could it be the Giants looking to improve that front seven on the defensive end? I might be leaning the under with some plus money on Kayvon Thibodeau, but we'll continue to dive through the odds for the NFL draft very, very soon. We round out the show next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We round out this Tuesday edition of Football Full Circle right here on Sports Grid Radio and Sirius XM Channel 159. I am Ben Stevens. I've been joined by Joe Lisi for the entirety of this hour on FFC. And Joe, we've been talking NFL draft all show long, under 3 weeks away now from Las Vegas in the 2022 NFL draft. And as we start to dive into these numbers even more, I think there's some plus money on the board we can get into pretty quickly now and early on before these markets start to shift as more attention is paid to the draft in just about a week's time.
Oh, yeah, definitely. There's going to be value to be had. I mean, definitely, whether it be conferences. And we got to throw out to FanDuel, your best conference, the Big Ten, isn't even listed. We have Pac-12, SEC, ACC. No Big Ten, Ben. Where's the Big Ten love?
I don't know about that, Joe. I don't know why that's the case. I mean, a Big Ten player very likely could go number one overall in Aiden Hutchinson, and there might be some wide receivers out of Ohio State that start to make some noise early on in this draft as well, because I'm looking at a plus 1,400 price on Chris Olave, the Buckeyes wide receiver, to be the first wide receiver selected. Maybe worth a sprinkle there. I'm talking myself into plus 500 right here, right now, on Malik Willis to go number two overall to the Detroit Lions. Maybe some small sprinkles, Joe Lisi, to get us going for the NFL draft here.
Oh, that's what it's all about, value, right? I think there's definitely, I'm going to say this, wide receivers in this draft, there's a ton of depth, and I like over the 5.5. I think there will be 6 wide receivers taken, and I'm going under the half in terms of the running backs. I love Breece Hall. I love Kenneth Walker, but not in the first round, especially after ETN got hurt and Najee Harris had a great season, but it wasn't elite to warrant a first-round draft pick.
And those are some of the sharper plays right now. Looking at draft position and the over-unders there, or the amount of a certain position going in the first round, or will it be more defensive or offensive players? Those are some of the sharper numbers, but the big plus money price is what you need to focus on right now. Joe Lisi, I am Ben Stevens. We'll be back tomorrow here on Football Full Circle. Coming up next on Sports Grid Radio, it's The Money Line with Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside. Talk to everybody tomorrow.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.